Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, let's dive into the world of General Motors, specifically their Q3 performance in 2024. We'll be dissecting their reports and even what came up during their earnings call.
Sounds good. And we've got the goods, their 10Q filing, that earnings call transcript, and their Q3 earnings presentation deck. We're basically deciphering GM's strategy as they're straddling this shift to electric vehicles while still, you know, ruling the gas-powered market.
They're trying to win on two fronts, huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting because their traditional business, the internal combustion engine side, or ICE, is doing exceptionally well, especially those big SUVs and trucks. Seems everyone wants one these days.
Yeah, it's really something how strong their traditional business remains. You look at their new models like the Chevrolet Traverse, GMC Acadia, Buick Enclave selling like crazy, and they're not even having to offer big discounts, which of course translates to healthy profit margins, super important as they're pouring money into that EV future.
Customers are still happy to shell out the big bucks for those gas-powered vehicles. Yeah. But what about their EVs? Are they actually making any progress there or just spinning their wheels?
Oh, they're gaining traction for sure. GM snagged the number 2 spot in US EV sales for Q3, almost 10% of the market share. But here's the interesting part. Their EV conquest rate, it's over 60%, meaning they're pulling in customers who are looking at other brands, not just converting their existing GM owners.
60%, that's impressive. What's the strategy there? Are they just offering huge discounts?
Not just price, though they're pricing on models like the Silverado EV, making sure they qualify for that full $7,500 federal tax credit definitely helps. They're also working that battery manufacturing partnership with LGES to their advantage, lowering costs, making their EVs more competitive. And let's not forget the performance aspect. Look at what they're doing with the Corvette Z06. Now, yeah, it's gas powered, but the tech and engineering they're developing there, direct implications for their high performance EVs.
Using the Z06 as a test lab for their electric future? Smart. Okay, so they're making moves on both sides, ICE and EV. But how does this translate to their financials? The earnings call had some big numbers. Revenue up 10% to $49 billion, EBIT adjusted of $4.1 billion, and EPS up a huge 30% year over year.
Yeah, those are strong numbers, no question. But we got to look closer. Breakdown profitability by engine type. That's where the real story is. ICE business, cash cow right now, driven by strong pricing and, you know, smart management of those incentives. EVs, on the other hand, still on their way to profitability. GM's target is variable profit positivity for EVs in Q4. That'll be a big one to watch.
Two different stories then. One engine's printing money, the other's still in the investment phase. But before we get too excited about the overall performance, let's talk China. Both the earnings call and 10Q, things aren't exactly peachy over there.
To put it lightly, GM's facing fierce competition from those local Chinese automakers, squeezing their margins. Their market share has taken a hit. They're having to restructure operations just to try and reach, well, some kind of sustainability and profitability.
Mary Barra, on the earnings call, made it sound like they're making tough decisions to right the ship in China. It'll be interesting to see what their updated plan looks like and whether they can actually turn things around.
For sure. And that brings up a big question for GM. How long can they keep investing in the Chinese market if those losses just keep coming? It's a tricky balance, that potential for long-term growth in such a huge market versus, you know, the reality of short-term financial pressures.
Speaking of uncertain futures, what about Cruise, their autonomous vehicle subsidiary? The 10Q brings up those ongoing questions about their future funding model and, of course, all the regulatory scrutiny they're facing after that accident back in October 2023. What's next for them?
It's a tough one. Cruise is in a bit of a strange place right now. They're making progress, refining their tech, streamlining their costs, but there are still so many unknowns. Their path to commercialization, how they'll handle those ever-changing regulations, it's all up in the air.
Sounds like they're walking a tightrope, still figuring out their balance. But despite these challenges, in China, with Cruise, GM is projecting similar earnings in 2025 compared to 2024. Pretty bold statement.
It is. They're basically saying they're confident enough in their EV ramp up and, you know, reaching profitability there that it'll offset any potential dips in the ICE market, the uncertainties in China, and those unknowns with Cruise. A lot riding on their EV strategy.
They're saying, we got this. But do they? Is it confidence or wishful thinking?
Well, maybe if we look closer at their capital allocation and shareholder returns, we might find some clues. Because despite the challenges, GM's cash position is solid, and they seem committed to rewarding their shareholders.
The 10Q highlighted that share buyback program. They've already gotten their diluted share count down to $1.12 billion, a 19% drop year over year. And they're aiming for under 1 billion outstanding shares by early 2025.
Yeah, that's a pretty clear signal, right? They believe in their long-term prospects, even with all this going on. They're putting their money where their mouth is.
They're betting on themselves, no doubt. But how? What are they actually doing to manage this transition and achieve those goals?
That's the million-dollar question. And to answer it, we've got to dig into those intriguing details buried in these reports. We'll look at everything from dealer training to battery manufacturing to those strategic partnerships they've been forming. It's a whole other layer to this story.
Sounds like we've got a lot more to uncover.
Yeah.
Okay, so big picture. Strong ICE performance, EV progress, and of course those challenges in China and with Cruise. But let's zoom in a bit. There were some interesting details that caught my eye as I went through these reports.
Yeah, the details, sometimes they tell the real story, right?
Exactly. Like on the earnings call, they had this story about a GM supplier, RIS Solutions, down in North Carolina. They got hit hard by those hurricanes. But, you know, not only did they support their employees in the community, but they went above and beyond to help GM get back on track. Even drilled a new well to restore water service for their plant and their neighbors.
Really shows the resilience of the people in this industry. Easy to get lost in the numbers, the strategies, but at the end of the day, it's the people. Their dedication often goes unnoticed.
Absolutely. Stories like that, it puts things in perspective. Okay, shifting gears a bit to something, well, faster. The earnings call also mentioned some pretty impressive performance stats for the Corvette Z06.
Oh yeah, the Z06. Speeds over 230 miles per hour. It's a beast. But what's interesting is how it kind of reflects GM's EV ambitions too.
Really? Didn't think a gas-guzzling sports car would have much to do with their electric vehicle program.
Think about it. The tech challenges of developing those high-performance EVs. Aerodynamics, advanced battery tech, optimizing the powertrain, it's complex stuff. But the lessons they're learning with the Z06, pushing the limits of performance with a combustion engine, that translates directly to their EV programs.
So the Z06, a high-speed lab for their EV engineers, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about something that's probably on a lot of potential EV buyers' minds: price. The presentation deck mentioned a unique pricing strategy for the Silverado EV.
Right. They've been very deliberate with their pricing, specifically on certain Silverado EV models, to make sure they hit that sweet spot for the full $7,500 federal tax credit. Makes them a lot more competitive, especially with Ford and their F-150 Lightning, you know, for buyers who are watching that upfront cost.
Smart move. Incentives like that can be a big deal for people on the fence about going electric. Speaking of going electric, both the call and the presentation deck, they highlighted GM's efforts to educate their sales force about EVs.
Yeah, that's crucial, right? They've got these extensive training programs going for dealership employees, covering everything, the technical stuff, charging, total cost of ownership, how to address customer concerns, the whole nine yards.
Building an army of EV experts in their dealerships.
Exactly. You need that informed and enthusiastic sales force to build consumer confidence in EVs. They got to be able to answer questions, dispel those myths, highlight the benefits. A great product is one thing, but you need a knowledgeable team selling it.
Makes sense. Okay, one last piece here. GM's battery partnership with LGES. The earnings call really emphasized how important that is.
Their joint ventures, Ohio and Tennessee, they're absolutely central to their EV strategy. It's not just about securing the battery supply. It's about that vertical integration, gaining those cost advantages. Controlling more of that battery production process means they're less reliant on those third-party suppliers, potentially lower costs overall.
And Mary Barra mentioned they're seeing some pretty impressive yield rates at those plants generating those manufacturing credits, both at the cell and module levels. That's got to be a good sign.
Definitely. High yield rates mean they're producing efficiently, less waste, and those credits help offset some of their production costs. Then those savings get passed on to the consumer, making their EVs more affordable, more accessible for everyone.
It all comes back to that EV profitability goal. Now, speaking of interesting details, one last thing from the 10Q. There's a section about Michael Abbott's consulting agreement with GM. His fees, they've been steadily increasing.
Yeah, Mr. Abbott, former GM executive, now senior advisor to the company. Those increasing fees definitely raised some eyebrows, got investors wondering about his role, what exactly he's advising on. Worth watching for sure.
Makes you wonder what insights he's offering to justify those fees, especially since he's not full-time anymore.
Bit of a mystery, but maybe we can get some clues if we look at the bigger picture, GM's priorities, the challenges they're facing. Maybe his expertise is super valuable right now with the EV transition, or perhaps he's involved in those China restructuring efforts. Who knows?
It's a puzzle. But for now, let's take a step back, recap what we've learned about GM's Q3 and what it all means for the average investor or anyone interested in, you know, where the auto industry is headed. Okay, so we've covered a lot. GM's truck and SUV sales, the EV progress, those battery details, even that high-priced consultant. What does it all mean? What's the takeaway for our listener who's been with us this whole time?
It boils down to this: GM's a company in transition, right? Trying to manage two very different worlds. They're still relying heavily on that traditional combustion engine business, which is doing incredibly well, but they're also investing heavily in those EVs and autonomous driving, the future of the industry.
It's like they're building that bridge to the future, but they can't quite let go of the present just yet, which makes things, well, complicated.
Absolutely. And makes their financial performance even more interesting. They're pulling in strong profits while funding those big bets on the future. That's not easy to do.
It's a balancing act for sure.
Yeah.
But what does this mean for the average investor or anyone who's just interested in, you know, the future of cars? What should they be watching as GM moves forward?
A few key things. First, how quickly can GM really scale up that EV production and make it profitable? They're aiming for that variable profit positivity in Q4, which would be huge. Then there's China. Can they turn things around there? That market's so important for their growth, but right now it's tough.
And of course, Cruise. What's the plan? Will they actually be able to make money from that autonomous driving tech, or will they have to, you know, scale back?
Big questions. The answers will have a big impact on GM's future. But here's another thing to consider: their partnerships. They've been working with companies like Honda, Hyundai on different projects. Those partnerships could be really important to their success.
It's interesting. Those partnerships, almost like the old rules of competition, are changing. Companies that used to be rivals are now finding ways to collaborate, especially with these expensive new technologies like EVs and autonomous driving.
Yeah, it's like they're realizing the landscape is changing so fast, no one company can go it alone. By working together, they share the risk, the cost, they can innovate faster, maybe even gain an advantage over the competition. So yeah, keep an eye on those partnerships, how they develop. Could be a sign of things to come for the whole industry.
There's a lot to think about, no doubt. But hey, after this deep dive, our listener is well equipped to understand what's going on with GM and what might be coming next.
For sure. The road ahead for GM, it's got bumps, it's got curves, but they've always been a resilient company, innovative. They're facing some big challenges, but they're also making bold moves. It'll be interesting to see what happens next.
It certainly will. And that wraps up our deep dive into General Motors Q3 2024 performance. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.